Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the Corner Contingent. Corner Contingent, man. Marty says some of them. Right across from me, our friendly neighborhood woodaholic is manning the controls behind the boards, who still leaps tall stacks of birch in a single bound, or get a saw and cut right through it. One or the other, anyone will do. We also have in the screening room Richie Rich, aiding us with the visual accommodations for this evening's soiree. We're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do it with intentionality. A theme throughout the program today you're going to see is no matter how you slice it, God has ordained his church to be salt and light, to be the pillar and ground of truth. The scripture we're going to go to it actually today in Ephesians chapter 3, it says that the manifold wisdom of God would be put on display, would be made known or made manifest through the church. When I say the word church, get out of your mind buildings and steeples and stained glass, and because the church is the body of Christ. It is people. We may gather in buildings in certain portions of the world at this juncture in the 21st century, but there are still places where the Lord's church gathers under trees. If we gathered, a contingent of the Lord's church gathered at Marty's house, we'd be the church meeting at Marty's house. And what I'm driving at with this is that we will never, brothers and sisters, we will never be able to out-politic, out-vote, or out no king's protest our way out of the deficiencies that can only be confronted by disciple-making. There must be a returned urgency and passion and commitment to proclaiming the Lord's gospel and making disciples. We have endured such a protracted amount of time to where there is a lack of engagement in disciple making to the point to where there's no longer much of an expectation in many places. I don't mean everybody. I know there are exceptions, but I'm speaking generally. That lack of expectation for the church of God to be robust in fulfilling the God-breathed purpose of executing his commission is that we have become more comfortable with looking for a political remedy, looking for a legal remedy, looking for a judicial remedy, looking for a what cause of action can I file? What kind of lawsuit can I file here? How can we go here? What is the legal process here? And I'm saying, guys, that's not the way. That's not the way. Certainly, we need to be aware of our rights. Certainly, we should exercise our rights. But if all we do is vote, and if all we do is file suits, and if all we do is read judicial opinions, and we are not making disciples, and we are not proclaiming the gospel, and we are generationally seeing a winnowing of the quantity and the quality of the believers' lives in our country. I mean, we don't even have to surmise that John Adams told us that our way of a government, our form of government is only adequate for religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate, this is what he said, for the governance of any other. This is what he said, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the context of that too today. And just, I'm greatly concerned that we might have missed the plot into where there's a critical mass of people that are far more comfortable with trimming the hedges and not pulling out the weeds from the root. At this moment, many of you are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs. Outcome cultivation, guys, is the order of the day. Outcome cultivation. As you do so, please resolve it in your heart to do so with intentionality. And as far as it pertains to you, as far as it pertains to me, may we be found doing the work that the Lord has called us to. To the word of God we go. Ephesians chapter 3. This is what I alluded to. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. All right. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says this: to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. I'm going to read that again. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The word of God continuously asserts and affirms that God's primary vehicle for impacting the hearts and minds of the people in a particular location and in a populace in a given region is through his church. It's through his church. There are lots of things that we can do. I praise God for godly men and godly people who run for office. I'm grateful for them. But guys, if we do not have people on the ground proclaiming the gospel and making disciples, we're missing the plot. We're missing the plot. This plot missing is not anything that's novel. October 11th, 1798. Second president of the United States, John Adams, wrote this, and we quote the latter part, but we often don't recognize the context that John Adams said this in. In his address to the Massachusetts militia, it's called the Letter to the Massachusetts Militia, John Adams wrote, quote, "While our country remains untainted with the principles and manners which are now producing desolation in so many parts of the world, while she continues sincere and incapable of insidious and impious policy, we shall have the strongest reason to rejoice in the local destination assigned us by Providence. But should the people of America once become capable of that deep simulation towards one another and towards foreign nations, which assumes the language of justice and moderation, while it is practicing iniquity and extravagance, and displays in the most captivating manner the charming pictures of candor, frankness, and sincerity, while it is rioting in rapine and insolence, this country will be the most miserable habitation in the world. Because we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, and revenge or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other," end quote. Now, I know these are some 18th century words, and some people might not be as readily aware of what they mean. But what John Adams writes, he says, but if America, if we as a nation, we become a people, while we assume the language of justice and moderation, we assume that language, while we are practicing iniquity and extravagance, if we provide pictures of candor and frankness and sincerity, while internally we are rioting with rapine. Rapine is an old English word that means cravenously taking other people's property, stealing other people's stuff. Right? We're saying this is who we are, but this is what we're doing. This is how we're living. Rioting with rapine and insolence. If we're saying we're one thing, but we're living in an entirely different way, our nation will become, John Adams said, a most miserable habitation, the most miserable, he said, the most miserable habitation in the world. And then he tells you why. Why will this happen? John Adams says this is why. Quote, because we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by religion and morality. He's explaining it to you. We can have a constitutional Republican form of government guaranteed by Article 4 of our United States Constitution. We can have Article 3 courts established. But if we have an increasingly wicked populace, John Adams said that we have no capacity to contain that unbridled human passion. It'll roll through our Constitution just like a whale going through a net, is what he says. Because this is the expectation from our founding era, dating even before them, from what God expects. Even before our nation was formed, God in his divine sovereignty allowed our nation to be established in order for our way of government to be preserved and to endure. It requires a particular type of people. Guess how those people were meant to be cultivated in this country? It wasn't going to come from the separation of powers. It's not going to come from our declaration and our founding documents. It must come from a robust church armed with the word of God, passionately committed to proclaiming the gospel, resolved to make disciples generation upon generation. Now, when you stand and see consistent efforts to cast off our way of government, when you stand and see it's a major irony. In a nation where our executive, the head of our executive branch, is elected, these fools rally talking about no kings. And it's a no kings rally coordinated all over the country. They spend nearly $300 million. And on the side, I have the flyer here. They talk about no billionaires. When is billionaires paying for the dumb rally? It's the billionaires that's giving the money for the posters. It's the billionaires organizing all the special interest groups. And we have so many useful idiots. And I don't mean that as a pejorative or an insult. I mean that in the way that Marx uses the term, the way that Marxists have used the term. We have people that all have all kind of energy and willingness to do stuff, and they're completely void of any type of knowledge or awareness. How does that happen? When our nation is held up as a beacon for educational instruction all around the world, yet we have a nation populated by educated fools. You know why? Because, just as de Tocqueville said, the source of America's goodness is not from these external systems. It's connected directly to the Lord's desire for his bride. And de Tocqueville warned that when, and y'all know it if you don't know it, de Tocqueville was the French philosopher who is contrasting the French Revolution to the American Revolution, and he surveyed America. He said, I sought for the core of America's greatness. I sought it in her banking systems, didn't find it there. Sought it in her education system, didn't find it there. Sought it in all these other areas, didn't find it there. It was not until I entered America's churches with the pulpits aflamed in righteousness, is what he said, that I realize the source of America's greatness, that America is great because she's good. The moment America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. The reason why you have consistent efforts to try to fundamentally transform our nation into something else is because we have become a people that are no longer adequate for this system of government. And so, well, Abe, what do? We do what God already told us we're supposed to do. One by one, one heart at a time, one mind at a time, proclaim the truth of God's word, praying to God to open eyes and ears, to till the soil of cold and stony, dead hearts, so that the life-giving flow of the Spirit of God will redeem the dead to life. And as people are graced by the power of God with regeneration, that they will be made disciples. Because we're not going to politic and vote and elect and protest our way into the path where we need to be. The church must awaken. And we must do so while we have the opportunity. We must work while it is day, because when night comes, no one can do any more work.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Proverbs 31 is a chapter that's unique in a number of ways. It's largely what a young man, a young king, remembered that his mother taught him. And you know, sometimes if you're reading this passage, you just might miss that. But remember this, this young man remembered a lot of things his mother taught him. It's so important to understand parents, our children are listening. They're listening and learning from you every single day. You know, often the devil will try to tell you, your children aren't listening to you. And parents sometimes will say, my children don't listen to me. Parents, they are listening. They're listening sometimes when you want them to, and they're listening sometimes when you don't want them to. They're picking up on things you didn't mean for them to hear because they are listening. So may we as parents and grandparents make the most of our time of teaching, training, guiding, and molding our children. Yes, they are listening.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I'm grateful to be back in studio after spending this last weekend in North Louisiana with the wonderful church family at Darbone Church of Christ in Farmerville, Louisiana. We had a sweet time. That was my second time there, but my wife and my children were able to accompany me this time, and they all had a great time there. I'll be returning to that area of the country to be a different church early next year in February, but I'll keep you posted on that. It was just a sweet time of fellowship and worship, and I'm grateful to have been able to be a part of that. Travel schedule is coming close to an end for this year, but still have a couple other private events that I'm going to be a part of later this year. But God is amazing. Now it is. Sometimes I have the penchant to assume people know things just because I'm familiar with them. Because one of the conversations I had actually just this morning with a brother, he was surprised when I said, "You do know the No Kings rally wasn't like a grassroots protest, right?" He was like, "What? What do you mean, eh?" I said, grassroots, astroturf probably, ain't no grass. You know, that stuff you get. It's not a grassroots protest. So I pulled up my picture of one of the rallies. So this is the one from New York City. Would you put the image of this post on the screen, please? So there was an effort to coordinate these rallies all across the country. And the first thing I said is, do you think a grassroots movement would be organized and coordinated in all 50 states at the same time? I'm not saying it's not possible, but what is the likelihood of it taking place? There you go. If you're watching the show, you'll see this is a poster from the No Kings rally. So I pulled this poster out and I said, if you look to the bottom left-hand corner of this image, this poster. You looking?
Yeah, I'm looking. Eh? Yeah, I'm looking.
What you see that? You see those letters? What do those letters say?
Yeah, I see them. CPUSA.
I said, do you know what that stands for?
He said, no, I don't know what that stands for.
I said, that's for the Communist Party USA.
I said, Communist Party? Oh, I didn't know there was a Communist Party USA. There, Republicans and Democrats.
I said, nah, there's a Communist Party USA. I said, toggle over a little bit more to the right, a little up and to the right. You'll see it. You see those? See that? Those letters? What are those?
Yeah, I see those letters.
What do you see those letters?
They're FSP.
I said, what is that? Freedom Socialist Party.
What? You mean to tell me that the Communist Party USA and the Freedom Socialist Party?
Mm-hmm. There's more. Look, directly where you are, imagine it's like a crossword puzzle. You know, seven up, right? Go up from there. You see the logo? You see that? You see what does that say? Now, you have to look real hard at the top. It says, what does it say?
New York City, Democratic Socialism of America. You mean to tell me, Abraham, you got Communist Party USA, you got Freedom Socialist Party, and the Communists, you got Democratic Socialism of America?
I said, yeah. I said, does that sound grassroots to you? He said, no.
It doesn't sound like grassroots at all.
I said, you're right. So, man, you're so right.
It's not grass. I got to go tell Maybelline it's not grass. Maybelline! And then he walked away. He told Maybelline it wasn't grassroots, you know. And it's just, I was like, wow, this dude really didn't know it wasn't grassroots. Like,
God, okay, I'll give you an example. In this, if you don't know yet, this is an article from the Boston Herald. The Boston Herald, all right? The Boston Herald is not a constitutionalist publication, okay? They had an author, a writer, Joe Battenfield, and he seemed to be surprised, like the gentleman I talked to this morning, because he wrote a piece that was published in the Boston Herald, and he said, quote, "The No Kings March, billed as a nationwide grassroots citizen uprising to protest President Donald Trump, is actually a slick, well-funded campaign orchestrated and paid for by special interest groups." Huh. "The rally scheduled for Saturday, with marches around the country, including in Boston, is being sponsored by liberal groups like the ACLU and left-wing unions, including the Massachusetts Teachers Union. Fearful of violence breaking out, the march has been rebranded as the No Kings Day of Peaceful Action. Mayor Michelle Wu is the headline speaker for the rally on Boston Common. The partners sponsoring the march include big groups and nonprofits like the ACLU, the American Association of University Professors." Oh, I'm sure that's grassroots. The American Association of University Professors. Can't you see them? Just, you know, with their roots in the grass. Can't you see them, you know? The American Association of University Professors. The Arab American Institute. Climate First and Climate Defenders. The Committee to Protect Healthcare. Common Cause. Greenpeace. Hollywood Democrats. The League of Women Voters, Planned Parenthood, MoveOn.org, the Sierra Club. I can go on and on and on, end quote. Guys, you know, and I don't think for one moment there are any in this audience who believes that this was a grassroots uprising and protest. It's nothing more than a regressive hissy fit. A regressive hissy fit. Yeah, heard the old adage, can't beat them, join them, you know. Can't beat them, protest them. You know, guys, this is sad. This is, what, the third one of these they've had since President Trump has taken office. Now, and I was talking to my wife about this morning as well. Do you realize President Trump hasn't even been in office a whole year yet? It hadn't been a year yet. It hasn't been. He was inaugurated in January. This is October. Isn't it interesting there were no Kings protests prior to January 2025? Huh. Isn't that interesting? Guys, you look at the greatest hits. You do a little bit of digging. I did a little bit. I didn't do too much. But you follow the money. You find groups like, oh, that's right, George Soros. Anybody surprised? The Tides Foundation. Arabella, which is this umbrella nonprofit that really serves as a money laundering foundation for money to go from billionaires into Arabella, then to all these various Antifa, Democratic Socialists, all these other groups. That's what they do. They're paid agitators and protests. There's nothing grassroots about this. And it was so effective the last time they did it, right? What did they accomplish? What are they seeking to accomplish? Yeah, that's right. You have Qatar. Like I mentioned, this one group, the Arab American Institute. I got a full list here. If you want to, you know, full list here, those you want to see several pages worth. You'll see, you know, Qatar front groups, which I'm telling you, that's a show that's coming to show you guys how much Qatar funds American initiatives and how many of those initiatives all of a sudden just seemingly become hostile to Israel. It's amazing how that happens. But it's absurd. And so when you have these groups doing these things, and this is America, so we have a First Amendment, you have the right to assemble. You have the right to protest. Like the very fact, these are the things why I get so dismayed by the useful idiots, because you have people saying things like, well, I'm out here because Trump is trying to stop our right to protest while you're at a protest. I mean, like, do you did you stop? Did you think about that before you said that?
He's trying to stop our right to protest.
That's literally like saying, "I am here, people. People of Earth, lend me your ears. Here I stand." And Five Guys, where the peanuts are plenty and the potatoes are present. And I refuse to allow anyone to remove from us the right to hamburger while I eat my hamburger. Like, dude, you were at a protest and you're saying that Trump is trying to stop the right to protest. Stopping a fascist. Do you realize you didn't really have too many people marching in the streets against Adolf, you know? Can you imagine? Down with fascism, right? Do you realize that? It's so sad. So the folks at Daily Wire had a few people on the streets. This is at the Washington, D.C. No Kings protest. And they just asked a couple of questions. Like, look, okay, you're here, no kings, right? Look, you don't want a king? I don't want a king. Look, I don't want a king either. I don't want a king. Only king I know is King Jesus. I'm not interested in the king. That's why I'm glad I'm on this side of the Atlantic. All right? But how were you protesting a king if President Trump was elected? Listen to and watch clip number four. Clip four, go.
We're out here at the No Kings protest, and we're asking all the important questions, such as, if Trump was elected, how exactly is he a king?
Because he is trying to take control of everything. Like, his checks and balances are not working, so he is just trying to completely disregard the Constitution.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of amendments have been kind of overcome, like in a way that they're not supposed to be.
Yeah, which amendments specifically?
The whole
first one.
Yeah, the first one.
Trying to take away our
freedom of protesting. Yeah.
I would say that it's because even though he was elected, I agree, you know, due process, he got what he, you know, he got elected fairly, sure, but he's doing things that make him a king, like he's taking away, you know, civil rights.
That's a great question. I don't particularly think he's a king, it's how people are viewing him as.
Actively switching the levers of power in order to subvert elections.
And what does that mean?
Things such as, trouble coming up with words.
You know, man, so we had to put the, you know, the little logo up there because old girl had shirts laden with expletives. You know, we don't want to bombard the viewers with that, you know. But you watch this and you might be like me. Your initial response might be to chuckle. But the chuckle turns in about 5 seconds into sorrow. Into lamenting. So you are at a protest and you say he's trying to stop your right to protest. You're literally at a protest. One of them said, well, what are you here to protest President Trump? Yes. What did he do? His checks and balances aren't working. His checks and balances? I need a new bumper sticker, Rich. Make constitutional literacy great again. Good night! My 13-year-old can tell you, ma'am, that he don't have checks and balances don't belong to him as an individual. His checks and balances not working. You know, his medulla oblongata got shatter. This is just sad. Certain amendments have been overcome. Which ones? Then somebody from the peanut gallery. The first one. Yeah, the first one. What's the first amendment, y'all? The right to this. And you wonder how Zora Mamdani is in the lead in New York City. There you go. There you go. Zora Mamdani is running around the city that was struck on 9/11 with the mastermind behind the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, kid you not, and saying, cheese, taking pictures. And these people are, oh, Lord. If that don't tell you we need the Lord to pour out his spirit in our country, with all, and this is, these are the ironies, guys. We're living in the information age. We're more connected than we ever been. Yet we have people that are more lonely than ever been. We have access to information more readily, more quickly than we ever had in our nation's history. And we have people that are literally walking around with emptiness between their ears. This dude dressed up to try to be a Trump lookalike, walking around D.C. on stilts, makeup on. He has his sign. He's in full character. Why? What are you protesting? It's hard to come up with words. But you're out here fully dressed up. Well, if you tell the truth, well, I'm really here because they gave me $300 to show up. And, you know, I wasn't employed anyway. So what else am I doing on Saturday? So they gave me $300 and said, yeah, I'll put on stilts and carry the sign around. Sure. And my heart breaks for my fellow citizens, man. Because with all of the information, I mean, we literally have Venezuela happening and happened like not 100 years ago, not 50, not 150 years ago. It is literally just happening. But you know what it shows? That the Bible is true. What did the Bible say is going to happen in latter times? What did the Bible say would happen? Evil men and seducers will go from bad to worse. So you can have a poster like this. No kings, no troops in our cities, no billionaires except for our billionaires. No billionaires but J.B. Pritzker. No billionaires but the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, Arabella. No billionaires except George Soros' billions. Guys, it's so sickening. It's nauseating. But as I said in the first segment, this happens when there's a great gulf that results from a lack of disciples being made. May the Lord restore to his bride in our country, a fervent, indomitable spirit to engage the lost with the love of Christ, to proclaim the gospel, to make disciples. Because God is long-suffering, but he's not forever suffering, man. This is sad, y'all.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net, and sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Not acknowledging sin. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. In a recent survey by George Barna at Arizona Christian University, quote, only half of all American adults believe that everyone has sinned, and 72% of self-identified Christians believe that people are basically good at heart. This is egregious error. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin is the reason that we need God to save us through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of his Son. Hear our most recent program with George Barna at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
What if healthcare could be more than bills and bureaucracy? What if it could reflect faith, foster community, and offer spiritual support? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, the mission goes beyond medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and embracing healthcare that aligns with Christian values. Redeem members share medical expenses through monthly contributions, supporting one another in a Christ-centered community. It's not insurance, it's believers helping believers through financial support and prayer. And Redeem HealthShare provides freedom for members to select the doctors, hospitals, and treatments that are right for them. No networks, no restrictions, just faith-driven care. From everyday checkups to unexpected medical emergencies, Redeem offers flexible programs and encouragement rooted in Scripture. Because your healthcare should reflect your faith, not compromise it. More at RedeemHealthShare.org.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Yes, I'm still, and you know, I saw that clip and I've seen several others that are just like it. Our nation is in a difficult spot, man. I'm talking about the people in our country. You know, it's just, there is not a person who was at this No Kings rally, any of these No Kings rallies, who have any doubt that once this term is up, President Trump is going to be gone. He's not going to be in Oval Office. There's not a single person at any of these rallies that are like, oh, we have a fear of a king. There is not a single person who's afraid of us having a king. It's not a single one. It's not a single one. So then what is their true objective? Their true objective is their same objective that they've had for decades. Barack Hussein Obama put words to it, the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. When I was in North Louisiana this weekend, I went through a bit of talking about how architects of the modern public education system dating back to the 18th century, with Horace Mann following his visit to Prussia, and he sought to institute what he called universal taxpayer-funded education with no variance, no adjustments, no consideration of the individuals, but a standardization that was novel in America's history to impose a Prussian system on the United States of America with the express purpose of using the education system to turn the country into a godless nation. This was the desire from the beginning of the modern government instruction system. Horace Mann literally said, "We view parents who have brought their children to our schools as having given hostages to our cause." He wrote that. He said it first, then he put it in print and published it in 1845. Hostages to our cause. We are living in, guys, the harvest of seeds sown at a minimum 150 years ago. And we've allowed ourselves to whistle and put our heads in the sand and entertain ourselves and fast food our ways into dullness, a lack of discernment, into a comfortable negligence and lethargy. And then you wake up and Zora Mamdani is leading the race to be mayor in New York City. You wake up and you have Islamists in Dearborn, Michigan, stoning Christians who dare come to try to share the gospel in 21st century America. Guys, we need the Lord desperately. And a part of the delusion, and I would even say a part of the demonic attack, is some of us don't see just how desperate our circumstances are, because we can still get, you know, double stuffed Oreo cookies off the shelf at the grocery store. You know what I'm saying? We don't see how desperate our conditions are because we, man, you know what? You can order DoorDash and you can put it on credit. Or, you know, if you're from the block, credit. You can put your pizza on credit. Pay off your large stuffed crust pizza over time. You got to pay it right now. You don't have to pay it right now. Guys, it's the other side of the same coin. It's the Deuteronomy 8 phenomenon. That's why the Lord warned us. Warned us. Be careful when you've eaten and your tummies are full. Be careful when your flocks and your herds are multiplying. Be careful when your silver and your gold is multiplying because you will forget God. It doesn't have to be that way, but if we're not intentional about not letting it be that way, it will be that way. So now we have people, George Washington warned us in his farewell address, be careful to entertain the supposition that you can adhere to morality void of religion. Both John Adams and George Washington throughout their writings are clearly referring to Christianity. You got people showing up at the No Kings rally. Well, so how is he a king? Well, I mean, I don't know. Stopping the right to protest while I'm at a protest? Do they really charge pizza? Yes. Yes, there's a company called Klarna. There are several others that allow you to do DoorDash and like Uber Eats style delivery of meals, and you pay it off over time. Of course, with a little interest. This is what I'm saying, man. What's the point of having good candidates if the people are wicked? The Virginia race is a great example. And with Governor Winsome, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears. Winsome Sears is a godly woman, an extremely intelligent woman, a military veteran, a legal migrant to the country. Don't the Democrats love the immigrants? Don't they love the immigrants? Oh, that's right. Rich said, no, they only love the illegal ones. And yet, it's still uncertain as to who's going to be Virginia's next governor. You know what I'm saying? That if you don't want a no-brainer of a choice, oh, Lord, we need your help. We need your help. Yesterday, while flying on Air Force One, President Trump was asked about the Virginia race, and he ended up weighing in not only on Virginia, but also a little bit on New Jersey as well. But President Trump has now formally endorsed Winsome Sears to become Virginia's next governor. Listen to and watch the exchange aboard Air Force One that took place yesterday with President Trump. It is clip number 3. Clip 3, go.
With the lieutenant
governor. Well, I think the Republican candidate is very good, and I think she should win because the Democrat candidate's a disaster. So I haven't been too much involved in Virginia. I love the state. I did very well in the state. But I will tell you, I think the Republican candidate is excellent, and I think the Democrat candidate is a disaster. I watched her in the debate. She couldn't answer the most basic question. And, you know, a big thing with that race and also the race in New Jersey is going to be energy. Both of the Democrats are going to drive the energy prices through the roof, through the roof. Your energy is going to double and triple. If the Republican gets elected, your energy is going to be coming down by 70-80%. Thank you very much, everybody. Vote Republican.
So you heard President Trump, and I'm grateful he did it, but I am curious, what took him so long? Why? You heard him say it in his own words. He didn't do very much in Virginia. Why did he stay out of Virginia up until now? I mean, certainly, I'm sure she's grateful for President Trump's support. I mean, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, you know, and her opponent, I'm not going to play it, guys. That's going to give me a headache. But Abigail Spanberger is all for boys and girls locker rooms, men and women's locker rooms, you know, men and women's intimate spaces, all for the entire panoply of regressive insanity. She's for it all. She's for it all. And I said earlier, the only immigrants that the Democrats like are illegal. Oh, excuse me. No one's illegal, Abe. They're just undocumented. Listen, I don't mean to insult anybody. The term illegal alien is still, as I'm speaking to you, in the United States Code. It is a legal term of art. I'm not commenting on the quality of an individual. Every single person is made in the image of God. I've said on the show, I understand if I was in a country that's been run over by cartel members, whoever, I'd be trying to get out of there too. But here's the thing. The United States of America can't take in the entire world's population. So we have to have a system of doing so if we decide we want to do so because it is a benefit for our country. You don't have a right to come to the United States of America by virtue of existing. Good night. It's just topsy-turvy. Democrats hate a documented migrant and don't want her to be the next governor. You know, we're talking about, you know, the regressive Olympics. I thought they were all for the minorities, weren't they? Unless one is running for governor as a Republican, I guess they ain't for them then. Man, just throw the whole stupid caboodle away. This is... The pillar and ground of truth. Pillar and ground of truth. We desperately need the Lord. It's better late than never, but I'm grateful that President Trump came out in support of Winsome Sears. I know I talked about it briefly. Last week, John Bolton was indicted. You remember all of the interviews he gave? President Trump needs to face accountability for his misdeeds. And now he's indicted for the very same thing. I wonder if he feels the same way about the indictment process. It's just absurd, man. If you know anything about the world, like Mexico, for example, you want to know how fortified their southern border is? How vigorously they defend their borders from illegal invasion. I heard a guy say, oh, ISIS is targeting black and brown people. What? What is the most significant contingent of people who have entered our country illegally? I'm sure it's those Norwegians. There's Norwegians came here illegally. It's a whole, you know, they came across the northern border. And I know there is illegal immigration from the northern border. I know there is visa overstay. There are visa overstays. But what's the biggest? I'd give another one. I guess, look, this, Abe, just let it out. Just tell us what's on your heart. What's on your heart, Abe? I was asked the question, you Christians act like the only sin is homosexuality and abortion. Why don't I see you guys protesting as hard about things like greed and about other things? I was like, okay, how many people are proposing laws to make greed legal? Or to illegalize greed? How many people are proposing laws to make things like, I don't know, covetousness illegal or legal? I said, you can't be this dense. The reason why same-sex marriage and abortion is being discussed so much currently is because people are trying to make sinful things law. That's the reason. It's not because you're having conversations about those things. It's not saying that you don't think anything else is a sin. Don't you know how many states just had abortion on their ballots? Don't you know the Supreme Court just had arguments as to whether or not a state could protect its minor citizens against transgender surgeries and insanities and chemical castrations? That's why it's a commonly discussed issue. And it's like the No Kings rally clip we played. We have people, guys, that's what I learned when I moved to Mississippi. Lord, bless their hearts. That's what I learned. The home of sweet tea, you better act like you know something. Bless their hearts. Guys, we have been dumbed down as a society. And when I said that to the person who asked me about that, they were like, oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah, it's true. Covetousness is still a sin. Greed is a sin. But nobody's attempting to do anything on a legal front in that regard. Nobody's amending their constitutions to address greed. Nobody's making Supreme Court arguments using women who call themselves Chase Strangio That's the dude who argued. That's the young lady who said she was a man.
His voice sounds like this.
Dead serious. I'm not kidding.
That's how their voice sounds. Children as young as 2 years old know when they're born in the wrong bodies.
Look it up. Look it up when we get off the air. That's why we're having these debates, guys. That's why we're having these debates. There was a huge thing, you know, Roe versus Wade, that was overturned with the Dobbs opinion. Following the Dobbs opinion, the issue was brought back to the states. And then there were states that were debating the issue. That's why it's being discussed. Why are we at it? Why are we protesting genocide? When was the last time y'all protested the genocide in Nigeria? What? Lord, we need you in our nation, God. We need you. Lord, would you once again soften hearts and open blind eyes? Lord, that I ask that you would send members of your remnant, Lord, throughout our country whose feet are shod with the gospel of peace, Lord, to proclaim the truth. Because, God, as much as we can see, Lord, you see far more than we can see. And Lord, you said in your word that you don't rejoice in the death of the wicked. So, Father, I'm asking that you would send an intervention into our nation, Lord, by your Spirit. That you would restore to your bride, Lord, a fervent passion and a zeal. Love for you that's reflected in our love for our neighbor that would allow us, even to the interruption of our own schedules, to proclaim the truth and live the truth. In Jesus' name.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.